Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Bitches Be Brave podcast, where we talk about support for each other and what it means to be brave as a mom, as a woman, as a working mom. I'm your host, Bev Steele, and quite frankly, work-life balance is crap. We all just want a life. Thank you for joining me today. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I had such a great time talking to Lauren Hubert today. She's a registered dietitian and weight loss expert behind the Sorority Nutritionist. And the reason I had such a great time talking with her is I just believe I am so in sync with her philosophies that none of us have any reason to be embarrassed that we want to look our best, that we want to look hot, we might want to lose a few pounds. And I don't know why we connect that with something that we need to be ashamed of. I think it goes hand in hand with what my message is on this podcast. Like, you do not have to hide who you are at work. You do not have to hide who you are at home or to your friends that may have chosen to be working moms or stay-at-home moms. And you can want to be hot. So you can want to kill it at work. You can want to be the best mom. And you can also want to be in great shape. Like, you really can have it all. So the discussion today is really about how we get there. I love how Lauren says, you know, listen, you can have fun along the way. You know, all of you know that I believe in habit stacking, and you can put that thing that's fun with that thing that you know that you need or you want to do. And I love how we can transfer this into what we eat and how we can build our diets and how we fuel ourselves with really how we want to look and how we want to feel. So I'm super excited for you all to hear Lauren and to meet her. And I am sure I'm going to be collaborating with her in the future. So here we go.
Hey guys, we're just taking a quick break to tell you about an amazing new wine that we just discovered. You guys know that nobody loves a glass of wine more than we do, but when we learned what is actually in the wine that we were drinking, we were shocked. No wonder we were getting headaches, brain fog, and having trouble sleeping.
That's right, Heather, but then we discovered dry farm wines. Dry farm wines are organically crafted, unprocessed wine free of sugar, additives, and lower in alcohol. These wines are amazing, and they're better for our bodies and our planet. Now we can enjoy the pleasure and euphoria of wine without the negative effects of higher alcohol consumption.
To find out where you can try these amazing wines and get a special Bitches Be Brave discount, click on the link in our show notes below.
Hi, Lauren. So happy to have you here today.
I am so freaking excited to be here. This is meant to be.
It is meant to be. I just think I have listened to a bunch of podcasts and your podcast and everything that you say. I'm just like, boom, things that I think and feel, but I'm the uneducated version of you because you actually have the education. But I am so excited for our listeners to hear and learn more about you today. So if we could just get started, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got to become the sorority nutritionist?
Yeah. So it's so funny. Everyone's like, Lauren, like, how did you get here? I sometimes look back, I'm like, I really don't know how I got here. And I think honestly, probably some of your listeners as well that religiously listen to your show, like sometimes like life just happens and you're like, how did this even happen? But honestly, like everything that happened to me as just a young woman, like I am no different than anyone listening to this show. I struggled with my weight. I was at low weights. I was at high weights. I've tried diets before. And honestly, like my own passion for just wanting to look a certain way, like shamelessly in college, I just wanted to look a certain way. That drove me to actually becoming a dietitian. But I came into nutrition just caring strictly about aesthetics, but I left nutrition and I'm still, you know, in the nutrition community, right? As a dietitian, I left with so much deeper of a passion for it's not just about aesthetics. It's about having a good relationship to food. It's about living life and eating food and celebrating food with other people. And honestly, just feeling like your absolute best self. So really, I gained weight in college and that really sparked my journey and began kind of my career in wanting to become a dietitian. Honestly, I kept it a secret for so long that like I was so obsessed with aesthetics because I didn't know any other woman struggled with their weight in the same way, which sounds crazy because I'm sure so many women out there listening to this may feel insecure in their bodies right now or not feel their best. But I really then created from my struggles in college, the Sorority Nutritionist, and now I help women conquer the same struggles that I used to really struggle with myself.
I love that you say that, because one of the reasons why we started this podcast is that we felt like, hey, you know, you don't have to feel bad about wanting to be the best mom, kill it at work, have a great job, and you don't need to feel bad because you want to look good. You want to look hot. I mean, that was kind of like our whole mantra when we started this podcast. But I think, like, even I've led a group of our followers on 6 weeks of Brave Motivation. Now we're at 4 weeks, really focusing on kind of the goal and why we don't do the things that we need to do, the steps. But the diet piece, I even kind of have some hesitation with even pushing that, kind of, because I don't want anyone to think that I think that they need to lose weight or that has to be really important. But I think that comes from me feeling like maybe you felt that you have to be somehow embarrassed that you really want to look good or really want to look hot. So can you dig more into that?
Yeah. You know, I love exactly what you're saying, because it's so crazy, but as a dietitian, I have felt exiled at times that I even want to help women lose weight. And hold up, you're like, why would you feel this way, Lauren? But because there's such this push for body positivity. And I feel like, unfortunately, because there is so much misinformation about weight loss out there, we associate weight loss with being extremely overweight, hating your body, eating junk food every day, when it's like, there are women out there who do eat generally healthy, but they're just not at a certain physique that, like, they absolutely love, but they're still unsatisfied with their body. And you don't have to be wildly overweight to have struggles fueling your body and have a poor relationship with your body. And honestly, like, even if you are at a healthy weight, you may want to change your body composition, and that's okay. Because I think in the world of nutrition, it's this unfortunate thing where it's becoming polarizing to even talk about weight loss, because it's just like, weight loss is bad, you're self-centered, when it's like, you're allowed to love the way that you look, do whatever you want to your body. Like, that is true women empowerment. So I've kind of become this, like, bold voice in our community for, like, you're allowed to want to lose weight. Like, you totally are allowed to.
Yeah. And you don't have to be embarrassed about it. And I even think that when I see a friend that's lost some weight, I'm like, wow, what have you done? You know? And there's that need to kind of find that information and say, well, maybe that's the answer. And I think that really, if we talk more about it, because I think you talk about, it's not maybe one size fits all, right? There's different people respond to different things. So if we could talk more about it and not feel shameful, I think that would be a great thing. And it's okay. Let's all just say it. It's okay to want to look hot.
It's totally okay to want to look hot. And also, I mean, you know this from your background too. When you feel hot, when you look hot, and you have a banging body and you have it going on. And also, when I say banging body, I mean, it's not one type of body shape. Like, hot is what you view as hot for your body. Hot is not going to be the same for every single person. But guess what? When you feel your best, you're going to be the most badass woman. You're going to be the best mom. You're going to be the best wife, be the best single lady. You're going to be the best career woman, or whatever you're doing in life. Like, you will be, like, the full package, and, like, you're allowed to want to be the full package.
Right, right. And I guess that kind of drills into what the vision you have for yourself. I know my daughters will say to me, Mom, you have the best butt. And I think, what? Like, I have been trying to get rid of my butt since I was a teenager, because my vision of what was hot or looked great was this very thin person. And I'm more curvy. I've grown to like that. Like, even if I get a little bit on the lighter side, I still have my curves. So how does vision transpire into what you want and actually how you're going to get there?
Yeah, I think this is a really important topic, actually, because as a dietitian, I mean, there are obviously women that have come to me in my career where I'm just like, real talk, like, your goals are unrealistic. Like, you are trying to be way too thin. You're not going to look like this supermodel in a magazine that was Photoshopped. Like, that's unrealistic. Where I think at the same time, we have to approach this with the question, not like, what is your goal weight, or like, how thin do you want to be? But it's like, how do you want to feel? And I think a lot of times when women are losing weight, we have like this one specific goal weight in mind, when in reality, we should think of like a goal confidence and allow ourselves flexibility, that our end goal of what we want our weight loss journey to be may change. Like, I used to want to be like 120 pounds, the thinnest bitch in the room. Like, I wanted to be like a stick, where now I'm like, you know what? Like, I've been there, and I may have liked that at the time, but I couldn't maintain that. And in fact, it caused more eating for me. It didn't make me feel my best. I'm sure many women out there can relate to that. So now it's this whole journey of how do I become my strongest, leanest, healthiest version of myself? And so I think your goals may change over time. Also, you know, every woman may feel confident at a different body fat percentage and whatever that could be, but your goals really have to be based on you, and you're the only person that can decide it. And I also think on that same note, like a diet's not going to save you. Like you may see like what your friend is doing or what someone else is doing, but like this journey is all about like self-discovery within you and finding what works for you. It's the corny expression, like every person's diet, you know, has to be personalized to them and every person is different, but it is really true. Like every person is different, and the weight that you may feel confident and hot at might not be that same weight for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is it about us as women where we just want that quick fix? I mean, I've been on the keto, I've done the juice cleanse. I mean, name it. I have completed. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's what I should
done
do.
Done it
that's
all, baby.
Yeah. So honestly, had I picked one and just been consistent with it, I probably would have had success, but it was always that 1 week or 2 weeks, really that 3 week mark where it's like, oh, obviously this isn't working. I might as well go back to my Chardonnay and ice cream.
Yeah, I think we also have to, well, actually not I think, I know we have to think about like what success really is, because when I have clients come to me and they're like, Lauren, I did keto, I lost 20 pounds in 2015, it was awesome, but then there's a but. And if there's a but after how much weight that you've lost, girlfriend, like that's not success, because what I call like the end goal, it's not like an end goal when it comes to nutrition and dieting. It's the corny expression of like the lifestyle, but like truly you're going to be fit for life. Like this is the body you want to have for life. And there's obviously ebbs and flows with weight, especially if you are having kids, and obviously the weight gain that's associated with that, that is necessary. But at the same time, like if you're failing your program, that means like that program wasn't meant for you. And 9 times out of 10, honestly, 10 times out of 10, probably on the diet programs, the diets that you're on, if you're failing them, it often is someone or a program telling you what to do instead of you taking the way that you eat, understanding the concepts of nutrition for the goal that you're working towards, and tweaking the way that you eat. And so that's why I think when it comes to nutrition and just everything I try to preach on social media so bluntly is it's not about me telling you what to do or anyone telling you what to do. It's about tweaking how you currently are eating to fit your goal, because then you can't fail. You're learning how to eat. You're not learning how to diet.
Right. It's kind of like what the hell effect, like, right? So if I don't have flexibility, I'm going to just throw my hands up and, well, I've ruined it. I missed 2 days of exercise and I've eaten like crap. I might as well just give it up.
Throw in the towel. And then you're going to be like, for a few days later, one day turns into, oh, well, all that week sucked, so let's just eat pizza every day. And it doesn't matter, when it's like every day matters.
Exactly. When I started the motivation group, I do a vision board every year.
Oh, I love that.
And I look at it, do all these things, and then I might kind of wander away from it for a little bit. And I just said to myself, like, why do I keep saying that I want these things, but I don't do something in my everyday to get there? Like I said, this was important. Like, why is that? And if we just dial it back to the diet piece, I think it's the same thing. It's like, oh, I'd like to lose 5 pounds, but then I'm not really getting present and accountable for what I'm putting in my mouth. So can you talk a little bit about how somebody could start maybe just learning a little bit more about what they're eating versus what they should be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you are, what I'm sensing is like procrastination. And actually before we pressed record, we were both talking about it and how I've been struggling with procrastination myself. And maybe it's COVID and the pandemic or whatever it could be. But if you're like putting off what you know you need to do, motivation isn't going to be the only thing to get you there. That's when like you really have to lean into and look at your habits. And I got to be real. Like I'm sure you know with the ladies going through your program, like it takes some discipline at first. The first time you change some of your habits, when say you go from eating very chaotic to, okay, I'm going to try to track my calories for a week just to kind of see where I'm at. I'm not going to follow a plan, just like see where I'm at, which is a really great habit for you guys to start off with. When you're first starting, it's going to feel really hard because you're going to have so much resistance towards it, but it's so corny. And actually was on a Peloton ride. I forget which instructor said it, but like when you're having that resistance, like turn the knob up on your Peloton, just like you may feel resistance in your diet. Like that's where you really actually need to look that resistance in the eye. why are you having that resistance? You're having that resistance because it feels uncomfortable and tough. But just because it's uncomfortable and different and tough and feels weird doesn't mean it's bad. And honestly, I think so much of it is actually mindset more than even just like your food choices. It's like you have to get into the mindset of like, this is what I'm doing and I'm committing myself to it. And honestly, I think a lot of people are weak at times. And I know that kind of sounds bad because we have so much going on. And I'm the first to admit that I'm a little bit weak at times, but we really need to have a strong mindset because like when we're working towards a weight loss goal, like this work is tough. Like don't let anyone sugarcoat it. It is tough when you're first starting off. Doesn't mean it has to be tough for life. Like it should feel easy. Food should be fun, but it is tough work at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is work, but you're working to do all these other things as well. It's just really, are you willing to put yourself first to do the work? And that means maybe rearranging your schedule so you can do a workout, or are you allowing for that time to go to the store to make sure that you have those things? And I do think as women, as we get busier and if we have families, things happen and we're the last on the list. And yeah. I talk all about moving yourself to the top of the list. So that's the other thing. It may be easier if you're able to do that, to plan that time.
Yeah. And I totally agree, especially if you're a mom listening to this. Like, I already know, you don't have to admit it. Like, you don't put yourself first. Like, let's be real. We all know that's the case. And it is hard because as you get busier, life, as you get older, life gets more chaotic. You can't necessarily prioritize yourself, maybe like you did in your 20s or even in your 30s, for instance. But as you get older, it doesn't mean like there isn't one small thing you can do today or one small food choice that's going to be beneficial. And that really gets into the all or nothing mindset where we consider success as going perfect, all in, exercising every day, eating perfect, whatever perfect means every single day. When it's like, say right now you're a hot mess express when it comes to your diet. Even if you change one thing, like instead of just having dessert every single night, I'm going to think before I have dessert and maybe do it 4 nights out of the 5 nights I usually have it. So you're like compromising with yourself. These small swaps are what's going to lead you to success. And it's never about giving up anything completely. It absolutely isn't.
Yeah. I know you talk a lot about the MyFitnessPal app, which I have been doing during this Brave Motivation. And it's funny because whenever I'm on at my health kick, it's like, there's no ice cream. I love ice cream. But we had gotten a bunch of ice cream for Father's Day. So
we are twins. Ice cream is my guilty pleasure. I love ice cream. You can have it. But yeah, sometimes it does me dirty.
Yes, it does. But when you start looking, like I could have like a quarter cup or a half a cup one night because it fit into my fitness pal. And I was so empowering. I thought, wow, I eat pretty good today. And actually, if I put this in, the game is not over. I don't have to do what the hell effect. I can have ice cream. And it was enough. It was really enough. So I think that kind of taking control like that and having the flexibility to say, this isn't a do or die piece of food.
You absolutely can have
it. Yeah.
And it starts with having a plan, right? Like that's why I love MyFitnessPal, because not only do you have your daily calories, what I call like a calorie budget, if you are trying to lose weight or even just maintain your weight and start to look at your food habits, right? Food is more than calories. But when you're looking at MyFitnessPal, you have this budget. But also what is so transformative that might help a lot of you ladies here that are listening today is thinking about the weekly average. I actually have my clients not just look at daily, but weekly, because even if you go over one day, if your weekly average is in alignment with what we call like your calorie range, mm-hmm. You know, MyFitnessPal has you set one specific number, but 100 higher, 100 lower from that calorie deficit you may have in MyFitnessPal. If you're hitting that range within the end of the week, even though you may have gone 500 over one day at a wedding and you had cake and it was super fun and amazing, no big deal. Stop feeling like you failed because you didn't fail.
Yeah. So do you need the premium to have that weekly average?
No, it's completely free.
Really?
So I forget exactly on MyFitnessPal where it's at, but when you look at your settings, you'll be able to see that weekly average. Okay. And it is just so transformative. I mean, even when I used to track on MyFitnessPal, this is like part of the framework I teach my clients. I used to just obsess over perfect numbers. Like the lower the calories, the better, right? Like if I was to eat 1400 calories, oh, if I eat 1000, that's better. Where now I'm like, oh my God, like no wonder why I was starving and losing muscle. Like I felt like crap. And
right.
So obviously your numbers have to be right for you. And like hitting your calorie deficit should feel easy. Like you shouldn't be starving when losing weight. But at the same time, that weekly average just honestly, I see with women, like always just transforms how they view success and consistency, because it also motivates you every day to track your food. If you are trying to lose weight, you see that weekly average and then you become empowered. Like, wow, like look at that. And then most importantly, you have to track that over weeks. Like 1 week isn't going to get you to your goal. Everyone knows that. But right. if you track week by week, your weekly average compared to your lowest weekly weight each week, you're going to see that trend over time. And it really just reinforces that consistency and like habit formation that we're trying to have.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, biohacking yourself.
Yes, like, literally biohacking yourself.
Yeah, becoming like your own science project.
And the thing is, you are your own science project. It goes back to that every body is different. And we may use like an estimation equation, like MyFitnessPal loves to set people's calories, right? But if you're going off of that, but you really need a little bit more food, don't just restrict yourself because MyFitnessPal says like 200 calories less. Like go with what feels best for you, because you may see that higher amount of calories, you might still lose weight on it because every person's body is so different.
Yeah, so true. How do you feel about like the calculation for when you're exercising? Say you're running a few days a week, you're doing a few days of strength training, and then you've got this MyFitnessPal calculation. Do you think that's a time to maybe add more or?
Yeah, you know, yes. This is a very hot topic when it comes to MyFitnessPal. So I love MyFitnessPal. It's so funny. Someone recently, a troll actually was like, you must get paid by MyFitnessPal in my comment section. I was like, no, I just like it and I use it myself. But anyway, so I do like MyFitnessPal and any of those tracking apps. The one downfall to using these apps, which is actually like when I work with clients, we don't actually use MyFitnessPal's calculations. And that is because MyFitnessPal, if your Apple Watch or any activity, like you end it automatically adds back those calories. But the issue is, especially with like Apple Watches and Fitbits, is they tend to overestimate how many calories you really burn in exercise. And honestly, they're just not accurate. I think there is research, don't quote me on it, ladies, anywhere between I think 20 to like 95 or 93% inaccuracy with Wow. how much you actually burn. So really with how I like my clients and honestly really encourage women to go about adding in exercise. And it really depends on, you know, where you're starting at, but there are times where you may need to adjust your calories when you add in exercise, but sometimes there actually isn't. And it all depends on also your progress. Like if you're not losing weight and you're trying to work towards a 20-pound goal or something like that, and then you're adding in a few days per week, you could probably keep your calories where they're at because adding in that little bit of exercise may help you actually achieve that deficit and then start to see that weight loss. Where if you're losing like 1 or 2 pounds a week, which is great, like realistic weight loss, and you're adding in exercise, like I don't want you going bumping up to like, let's lose 3 to 5 pounds a week. Like that's too fast of weight loss, which is a whole different topic. But we do want to definitely pay attention to how we exercise because that does impact your calories. And going back now that I'm rambling, you are determining your calorie needs, your exercise and activity, your total daily activity actually goes into how many calories you need. So when you add in exercise, you almost need to just completely redo that calorie calculation instead of focusing on like, oh, if I exercise this day, oh, like this day I have to add in an extra 500 calories. It's better to approach it more like, these are my consistent exercise habits. This is what amount of calories it would take for results, and focusing on hitting that number instead.
Yeah, this is the biggest challenge for me because I've been consistently running and consistently doing strength training and not seeing it on the scale. Mm. But I notice my jeans are fitting a little looser, like I'm noticing a change. So I have to mentally say, okay, Bev, you just got to stick with this. You just got to stick with this. So talk about what you see with your clients as far as that. Maybe they don't have a huge amount to lose, but they want to lose sure. 5 pounds.
Yeah.
They haven't been
doing 5 to 10 pounds for sure. And honestly, yeah. like, real talk, I feel like you needed this from me today. This was meant to be.
I told you, this was meant to be.
Even if you are not seeing success on the scale. Because if you're in that last 5 to 10 pounds, I truly care less about how the scale is changing and more about how your body is changing. Mm-hmm. And that's because when you're in that last 5 to 10 pounds, especially if you're strength training, if you're building muscle mass and or losing body fat at the same time, you're transforming how you look and the scale may not change. And I wish we could show a visual on here, but we can post it after for you guys.
Yeah.
But even if you go on Google, if you look up like 5 pounds of fat versus muscle, or you're like muscle versus fat comparison, you'll see a scale. And the scale basically shows 5 pounds of, say, fat versus 5 pounds of muscle. Now, they weigh the same. That's a myth. They don't weigh things differently, but they take up different amounts of space. So the muscle is going to be more compact at 5 pounds, where the fat takes up more area. So you could hypothetically stay the same weight, but your body would look different, hence the weight loss and the losing inches stuff that you're experiencing. You could not see weight loss, but your body could look completely different because you're changing your body composition. So that's why, especially, I say like the last 5, 10, or even 15 pounds, and honestly, your entire journey, but especially those last little bit of weight that you're trying to lose, we really have to transition our mindset to how is our body transforming? Are we losing inches? Are we changing our composition? Are we shedding body fat versus am I seeing success on the scale?
Yes. And then does it take longer then to see success on the scale when it is just a 5?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. But it does depend on how long you've quote unquote dieted or tried to lose weight. I've had a client recently, she lost like 50 or 60 pounds and now she's going towards her last 10 because she's lost so much weight. It is going to take her a little bit longer than for some of my clients who've been pretty fit for a while. They've been at maintenance for a while, like not really shedding fat or anything. And they're like, okay, I really want to dial it up and get like really slim for my wedding or like some event I'm going to. Those types of clients, they may be able to make a few small tweaks and see things faster. But how you eat now, we don't talk about it enough, but how you eat now really impacts how quick you're going to see results. Because if your diet's a hot mess express, you could get away with like literally just cutting out a few hundred calories and boom, you start to see results. Where yes. If you're like already eating, and it kind of sucks for everyone who does eat clean already, but if you eat pretty well already and you're in a pretty good place, I often find for these women that it just takes a little bit longer. And once again, like every person's body is different, your age, how you exercise, the intensity of your exercise, that also goes into how fast you see results.
Yeah. 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 And I think that the hot mess express, I love that. When you have that, then you just like, I say saying no to your inner toddler. If you just say no, you know that you're not, shouldn't be going and having that second bowl of ice cream, whatever. Just say no. And that's where you got to like, okay, let's be an adult here. You know, you can say no to that. So I wanted to talk to you. I'm really big into habit stacking. That's taking something that you know you need to do with something that's really fun. Like I'm crazy about The Real Housewives. So that's when I do my strength resist. We're so much alike.
Yes, I love Real Housewives. Oh my God.
Beverly Hills is really good.
Oh, I literally was just about to ask you, what's your favorite one? Yeah. Still to this day. Well, yeah, Beverly Hills this season's very good, but
yeah.
I love my Lisa Vanderpump as much as people don't like her anymore.
Oh, I know.
I guess supposedly don't like her because she's not on the show, but I miss her.
But Kathy Hilton is quite interesting this season.
Literally, I'm obsessed with Kathy. I already really loved Paris. And now that Kathy's in the mix, I'm like,
yes. I know, it's so good. So what I do is I say, okay, I know I want to do my strength resistance. So I can watch Beverly Hills Housewives and it gets it done. I'm going to watch it and then I'm going to do that. So I love that you, and that's going to be more fun. Or I listened to you when I went out and walked my dogs today, one of your podcasts. So that makes it fun. I'm doing something that I like with something that I know I need or want to do. So you talk about making food fun. And I kind of think that diet has a very negative connotation for all of us. And you don't think like, this is going to be fun. I'm going to be dieting or going on this new health. So talk about how we can make the diet, the food more fun. So it's a form of habit stacking.
Absolutely. And also your recommendations about like making exercise fun, like combining it with things you love, like all things I love to recommend. So like, absolutely love it. I think when it comes to food, like I understand that everyone's going to be me as a dietitian, waking up on Sundays, doing my grocery hauls on Instagram. But honestly, like you have to get excited about food. And I think when you think of dieting, it's like, oh, I have to give up bread and carbs and I have to go keto and buy all these protein shakes and bars. Like it sounds miserable. Like, what if you thought about like your lifestyle and it's fitting your lifestyle to your diet? So if you like to go out to eat, use that as like a fun way to, well, one, we have to make it fit your goals, of course, right? But like, we have to get excited and know like we shouldn't feel guilty going out to eat. So it's something you look forward to. I think going back to the grocery store, like we do have to also get our hands wet, dirty, whatever you want to say, like get ourselves in the kitchen, buy food, like learn how to cook and make food taste good. Like, I think the worst part about the dieting industry in the US is how we've kind of been brainwashed that healthy eating means food is disgusting and bland and doesn't taste good. When it's like, how could we even like recreate something that's considered more higher calorie or not as nourishing or what I call more fun and make it even fit our goals? Like think about a burger. Like what if you made, instead of a regular burger with fries at a restaurant, what if you made a turkey burger at home and you put it on an English muffin, you had a side salad with it, and then maybe you added like some sweet potato fries homemade, or like you made some homemade French fries on the stovetop or something like that. Like you could probably save a lot more. Actually, I know you could save a lot more calories and still get a lot of fiber and protein and honestly hit all of the balance plate that you need for success. So I think it comes down to how like we limit ourselves with food, and we think dieting can't be fun. Weight loss is inherently restrictive, but there is no food you can't have. So think about your diet right now and like what you love about it, what foods you enjoy, what are like the non-negotiables that you're not willing to give up. And then it's really about creating a plan that fits those into your calorie budget, right? And is realistic. And you also have to prioritize healthy eating, the fruits, the veggies, all that kind of stuff. But how can you form a plan that will get you excited? Because if you're excited about it, you're going to be excited to eat. It's going to be enjoyable and you're going to stick to it.
Yes, yes. I know my husband and I, during COVID, we got into this habit of me having some wine and having some beer and watching Netflix during the week because we weren't going in the office, whatever.
Of course.
So obviously, got to break that habit. And so what I did was I kind of got into some teas. And so like at night when I kind of would have like grabbed that wine and like I need to chill, I do the tea and I get a really beautiful cup and have that. Of course, if you really want that wine, it's probably not going to cut it, but it is kind of taking that habit that formed out of nowhere, out of COVID actually, and turning it into something else. So just really rethinking what you're doing and how you can actually do the same thing, get the same reward, but package it a little bit different.
Yeah. And I think you're onto something here, because the intention of why you choose to indulge or have something is important, right? Like for some people, it's the classic Instagram quote that I'm sure you guys have seen. Like for some people, progress is saying yes to pizza. For some people, progress is saying no. And it depends on what you're struggling with. But I definitely think like it does all come down to habits, and context is king. Like, of course you can have wine on your journey, but also if you're not making progress, it's become this really toxic habit where you're just having it and you're not even thinking about like why you want it, or you're having foods and you don't even want foods, right? Like when fun foods are in front of you and you just say yes to them and eat them, but you don't want them, like, gosh, it's not worth it. Don't eat it. Like eat what is worth it, especially if your goal is weight loss.
Yeah. And you have to get real. Like, what's the one thing I know that I need to stop doing or I need to start doing to get to what I want? So there are those things. And that was one thing I needed to stop doing.
Yeah. I literally did the same thing. My husband and I shamelessly, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast before. We now make a little pitcher of Crystal Light in the evening and we have Crystal Light before bed. But guess what? People are like, artificial sweetener is so bad. Well, guess what? We're getting in so much water before bed. We're so hydrated and it's way better than doing that glass of wine every night.
Exactly. I'll do a kombucha and like a really pretty crystal wine glass. Another habit stacking that we've been doing with the Netflix, because we knew that was keeping us sedentary, is that my husband cycles and I run and we're very inflexible. We started saying, okay, if we're going to watch Netflix, we have to get on the ground and stretch.
I love that. Yeah. I need that. Maybe I need to try to convince my husband. I don't know if he'll do that with me, but I can do it by myself.
Well, and it's like not even that much effort, but even like sometimes I'll go, okay, it's time to stretch. He'll be like, oh, it's like just get on the ground then. Just get on the ground and then you can just sit there. And then eventually like we're doing that stretching.
Yeah. So. Well, especially too, like for any women out here listening to this that aren't very active, like just even try stretching before you go and like start a workout routine, because it's going to help you just like, I mean, I'm not a personal trainer. Let's be real. I need to stick to my realm of being a dietitian, but it like is just going to kind of prime you for when you do exercise. And honestly, when you start exercising, you really have to get your stretching game on point. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, gosh, we're just like talking. So, Lauren, tell our listeners how they can find you, what you have going on right now, and just any little tidbit you want them to take before we say goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. So y'all can find me at thesoritynutritionist.com. On Instagram is kind of the main place I love to hang out, sorority.nutritionist. If you search sorority and dietitian, you can usually find me anywhere. And when it comes to what's going on right now, so we're actually inside of my membership, which is a program where I teach you my proven framework for weight loss that combines calorie tracking and mindful eating. We're actually beginning talking about habits. This is actually perfect. We're beginning a 30-day challenge. I used to have this 8-week tighten and tone challenge, and now we've condensed it to 30 days. And really, like, and for anyone out there that struggles with this, I think sometimes when it comes to weight loss, like, yes, there is an all or nothing mindset that so many women do need to break down, but also, like, it's not bad to be disciplined. And I think for a lot of people, like myself, like with COVID, like, I got so off track. And I want to share that with you, because even as a dietitian, like, helping thousands of women lose weight, I still struggle with being consistent at times, because it's completely normal to get off track when a pandemic hits. So sometimes you have to, like, really look at your habits, have that real talk, like you said, and be like, I need to get in shape again. So that's where this whole Tighten and Tone challenge came from. That's really focused on showing up for yourself in diet, nutrition, with water intake and your habits, and honestly, just like nicking those bad habits in the butt so you can be your best self.
That is great. You'll have to send me that link and I'll put it in the show notes for everyone.
Yes.
Who doesn't want to get tight and toned? And then also, you said something about your, like, Sunday grocery. So do you do an Instagram live for your grocery shopping on Sunday?
Yeah. So it's not an Instagram live. I need to start doing an Instagram live one day. Yeah. So it's so funny. Honestly, for the past 2 years, I'm literally not being dramatic. Every Sunday, give or take, probably 90% of the Sundays of the year, I always go to the grocery store with my husband, unless he's working, and I do a grocery haul. We call it the Sorority Nutritionist Weight Loss Grocery Haul. And it's really fun. Lots of people end up watching it and screenshot stuff. And basically, I take you on my grocery haul and show you guys what I'm buying, inspiration, and honestly, just like pairing the flexibility yet discipline that I have with food and what I really try to teach women, where finding small ways to cut calories and meal ideas, inspiration as well, but also like showing the real foods that I buy, like ice cream. Like sometimes I buy a frozen pizza. Like you can buy these foods and basically how then I fit them into my diet and giving you guys some inspiration.
So where do we find that?
So it's on my Instagram story, actually. So if you guys follow me, sorority.nutritionist, on Sunday, you'll always see a fun little grocery haul for me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to share that with my group. I have like 21 women doing 4 weeks of Brave Motivation. I'll share that, because we're really like, I am not the nutritionist or the fitness guru. I am just a woman that needs motivation like they do. So I like to
share. We all do, baby. I'm here for it.
So Lauren, one question I always ask my guests, what does it mean to you to be brave?
Oh my goodness. Being brave for me, and I think for many young women, and I wish I heard this sooner when I was younger, is not being afraid, not to just be your unapologetic self. I feel like that's a very basic answer, right? And I am very basic, but it's having a voice, like not letting other people dim your voice because they're jealous of you, because they don't agree with your message, because you walked a different life than them. Like being brave is being yourself, and always like with the way you live your life, doing it with the intention that you're doing it for you, just like your weight loss goals, you're doing it for you, but every part of your life, like finding that fulfillment and happiness because you are honoring what you want. And I think that's really being brave.
I love it. I love it. And I needed to receive that today. That's really good.
Yes. I need to receive it every day. So yeah.
Well, I recorded it so we can send it back and forth to each other every day.
I love it.
Okay, Lauren, I love talking to you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And I'd like to ask you, if you did, if you could please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review and a 5-star rating, I hope. I really would like to get this podcast out to more women, supporting women, and I can't do it without your help. Thanks so much, and be brave.